It's the Man Under Construction Podcast. Welcome back once again. Thank you guys for stopping by and taking a listen. I do have some exciting news to share. Man Under Construction on Instagram hit a milestone. But before I share that, let me preface it with this. I recall going back. Well, as I go back, I recall just starting this journey out with just a handful of followers, very little engagement. But I kept pushing. I knew somebody out there could relate to what I was talking about. And I knew that I could help somebody out. If I just kept sharing my story, it would fall into the right hands. It would fall into someone's feet, and they would be inspired or connect with it on a different level. So having said that, we've hit 15K, and I'm excited about that. I'm encouraged about what the future holds for Men Under Construction here in 2021. I'd actually love to see if we could hit 20K, 25K by the end of the year. That would be so awesome. The whole point of Man Under Construction is not about myself. Yes, I'm sharing my journey. And yes, I'm sharing my personal experiences. But the whole point is to inspire men to be the best versions of themselves. That's the whole point. This has nothing to do with me. This has nothing to do with trying to grow my account or making the focus about myself. This is about sharing my story to be able to help other men be the best versions of themselves. So if there's a certain post that resonates with you, or you feel a brother out there could use it or be inspired by it, I encourage you to share it, and let's hit that 20K. Let's hit that 25K. And I know we can do it. I'm excited about it. Actually, I'm getting a little excited just thinking about it right now. If you'd like to support Man Under Construction, you can do that through Patreon. It'll be in the show notes down below, and you can start off with just $1 a month. It really helps with the stuff that I do here. I recently just bought a camera, and that was all due to the Patreon subscribers, their support. Like I've said, I do want to do more video content and video podcasts and be able to put that on YouTube to be able to reach more guys. I want to be able to use any means necessary to touch lives out there. So it'll be in the show notes, so just click that and feel free to support Man Under Construction. Today, we're going to go into Chapter 2 of Black Belt Husband, which is humility. And Quentin Hafner is going to join us. Actually, this is a pre-recorded conversation, so we're going to jump into it. And Quentin Hafner and I are going to go back and forth about Chapter 2, about humility, which is following self-awareness. And without wasting any more time, let's go right into it. Welcome back, everyone, to the Man Under Construction Podcast. And I am sitting here with Quentin Hafner, who is the author of Black Belt Husband. And before we get started with this round two, chapter two, let's go ahead and refresh what we talked about in chapter one or the previous episode. We talked about self-awareness and how crucial it is and how important it is to lay the foundation on your journey to be a black belt husband. So Quentin Hafner, welcome once again, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Michael. Super stoked to talk with you again. Yeah, the last conversation was really great. I'm looking forward to this one too.
So can you give us a brush up of what we talked about in the previous episode about self-awareness and how crucial it is to laying that foundation to being a black belt husband?
Yeah, I think that the gist of kind of what we were talking about is, in order to be successful in any relationship, we have to know ourselves really well. We have to know the good, bad, and the ugly. We have to know our strengths, and we have to know our weaknesses. We have to really have a really great understanding of, our conflict styles and how we respond to certain stresses. And without that self-knowledge, without that self-awareness, we are going to really struggle in relationships. We're going to basically just kind of step on our own feet. And, it's really the most foundational building block of relationships. That's why I put it at the beginning of the book in chapter one, because everything builds upon our level of self-awareness. And I specifically wanted to talk about that with guys, because as a general theme in life or in our culture or in the world, I don't feel like guys spend enough time becoming more self-aware, becoming more self-reflective. I think it's a big kind of deficit, if you will, as a whole amongst men. So, I see it, so often in my practice, how it just becomes the Achilles heel for guys too.
And that's really important. And like Quentin mentioned, how in relationships, but I found that once I went through the book, or even just the first few chapters, I found how relevant it is for just the single guys out there, just for general self-improvement, to even to prepare yourself to be in a relationship where you can avoid a lot of the stuff that people that go into marriage unprepared face. Just being able to practice self-awareness, and then what we're going to talk about next, which is humility, being able to adopt those virtues, or have that foresight, or be able to see yourself in a certain light, really is helpful, not just in marriage, but in general for a man that wants to level up himself, be that black belt husband before he gets into a relationship. But he's already ready, and actually he can probably, like what I tell my guys on the pages, I'm giving you this stuff not because I want you to be like me. I'm giving you this stuff because I want you to be better than I am. I know a lot of guys, or younger guys, or people that are single. I talk to them and I share this stuff. And I always tell them, when you get to my age, I want you to be a lot better than I am. I want you to start your journey a lot sooner than I did. And by the time you get to my age, you're light years away than I am. And then you can go ahead and pass that on and continue the legacy. But the natural progression that we're going to take, or the next step that we take right after self-awareness, and is humility. And we're going to go ahead and talk about that. And why don't you introduce us to what that entails, and what is all that about? What is all this humility stuff about? Man.
What is that? Well, you know, it's humility is such an interesting thing, you know, and it's why it's really early on in the book too, chapter two. I really wanted to talk about it early because I see so often, I have so many firsthand experiences, truly watching the lives of men implode because of their lack of humility. And so I said, gosh, I need to really write about this. I need to talk about this because, something's happening with guys, not, of course, not all guys, but, something's happening with guys where, it's almost like humility feels like a lost virtue. And, if you go ask a bunch of guys and you say, hey, is humility a good thing? Everybody would say yes, because everybody knows the right answer to say yes. But when you really start looking at their lives and wondering how kind of humility plays out, especially in the context of marriage, you'd find that very few guys are actually humble at all. And that goes back to what we were saying in the previous episode where, we're talking about the 5%. We're talking about the top 5%. And, and so I write a lot about it in the book, and I write that, just like self-awareness, I had to learn, humility, the hard way in prior relationships and my first marriage. I thought that, I thought I knew it all, I thought I knew it all. I thought I had my shit together. And it turns out, in fact, that I didn't know anything and I didn't have my stuff together. Yeah. So, I learned I was humbled actually by life. And in that process, I became a lot more humble. So, I use a Brazilian jiu-jitsu metaphor in the book because, that's kind of what the book is really kind of aligned with, I just remember thinking, gosh, there's so many parallels between marriage and jiu-jitsu that I thought, here's another really good one. Because if you show up for Brazilian jiu-jitsu and you're not humble, you are going to get hurt. Honestly, you're going to get hurt. And I've seen it happen so many times where people come in and they got big egos and they think they're tough and they think that they're going to just push people around and dominate people. And they just get smoked. And I remember being new in jiu-jitsu and watching that going, wow, this is really powerful. This jiu-jitsu stuff is really powerful, And I thought, God, that's exactly how marriage is too. You get married and you kind of think you know what you're doing. You kind of think you have it together, and marriage just smokes you. And then you're thinking, well, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, totally. Right? Sideswiped.
Because you're thinking, I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I had a prescriptive plan. And then you come to find out that you actually don't know what you're doing at all. And probably, you know, most of the things that you learned, you have to kind of unlearn, and you got to learn a whole bunch of new stuff that you were never taught.
Usually in the mind of a guy, and I can say this from actually, these are the thoughts that went through my head early on in life. Marriage is, I get married, free sex, just unlimited sex, all day, every day. I work, right. Come home, watch TV, and just have sex.
Right.
That's basically the gist. And maybe along down the road, we'll have children.
Right.
And that's the only thing we ever considered going into marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that I was just thinking, you know, that might work in, you know, some faraway countries that are a lot more primitive, but that's not going to fly in 2020, and guys need a new path, and they need to know a new way. And it's like, the guys need a healthy way, cause that's not a healthy way of living, you know? And so, you know, the humility part is really just kind of talking to guys about this need to really have a little bit of an ego adjustment and really kind of adopt that mindset of like, gosh, well, maybe I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and maybe it's okay to say, I don't know what I'm doing. And maybe if that was the starting place, maybe you would be the big beneficiary of that, because you can learn a different way and a better way. And you know, it's like, it's interesting too, personally, because of course, as a couples therapist, I know a lot about relationships only because that's my profession. That's what I do for 8 hours a day. And so it would make sense that I know a lot about that stuff. But I tell all my clients, my wife and I still go to couples therapy. I still go to individual therapy. So I still adopt that, like that humility mindset. Like, I don't have it all figured out at all.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have all the answers, you know, and I still am so just trying. And by the way, this is something you have to work at. This is not something that comes natural. Guys are not naturally humble. Okay. And that's a good thing in some ways, because, you know, we know how to be protectors, and we know how to fight, and we know how to be assertive, and we know how to stand up to people. But there's a time and a place to be humble too. We can be both of those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We can. Okay. We have to be able to know what the situation calls for. And before you go any further,
yeah,
I wanted to touch on something.
Yeah.
Why are men so intimidated by such a small word, humility? And you do talk about that in your book a little bit, but I figured that we talk about it right now. Men, when they hear humility or be humble, they associate it with passiveness, and passiveness or passivity is almost the equivalent to weak, or in their mind, it is weakness. Mm-hmm. So, that's one of the major reasons why a lot of men struggle with that, because they perceive humility as weakness. That's one of the major hurdles that, especially, I mean, I encountered that in my life, and I know for a fact that a lot of guys run into that. The fact that, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, Michael, I think it's a universal experience. Okay. For guys, you know, I don't think I've ever met a guy that is just, you know, I mean, maybe Jesus, you know, naturally humble. I mean, I just think it's part of our DNA. It's part of our evolution as people, you know, that, you know, it feels like an impingement on our ego when we have to admit that we don't know something. And people just don't like that. And I think guys, I think there is a gender quality to this too, because I think naturally guys have a more difficult time with humility than women. And it's not to say that women have it all figured out, but just as a general rule of thumb, I think it's a little bit tougher for guys.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is how little boys grow up and how little boys are raised. And, you know, I think it's, you know, as a culture, we don't really allow little boys to feel as much, to be expressive of emotion as much. And, you know, we take little boys and we try to, you know, shape them into kind of like emotionless robots. And then when you ask them to be humble, it's very difficult because, you know, humility is really out of alignment with that. It's like, oh, you want me to be self-reflective and you want me to kind of acknowledge that I don't have this figured out. And that would mean that I have to feel some sense of shame, and I don't want to feel that. And so I'm going to pretend that I got it all figured out, and I'm not going to ask any questions, and I'm not going to dare to ask for help. And, you know, I remember one time, you know, my wife and I, we used to live in this other house, and here's a great story. I hope whoever's listening to this gets a laugh out of it, because we had a tree that fell down in our backyard. Okay. And one of my neighbors had a chainsaw, and I went over to his house, and, you know, he's this old kind of like salt of the earth kind of old dude, you know, he's like just a real kind of rugged kind of manly guy. I said, Hey, can I borrow your chainsaw? 'Cause I'm going to chop up this branch that fell. He's like, oh yeah, no problem. I've never used a chainsaw in my life. I've never used a chainsaw. And he asked me, he said, have you used a chainsaw before? You know how to use it? I said, oh yeah, I know how to use a chainsaw.
You got this.
I got this. It was like in that very moment, I didn't have the courage to admit to him that I never used a chainsaw before. And so I bring this chainsaw home, and I'll never forget my wife. Thank God I'm married to a sane woman. She's kind of out there and she's like, have you ever used this before? And I kind of look at her with this kind of like sideways look, and she's like, don't do it. She's like, don't do it. She's like, go ask him for help.
I kind of see the face that you made. Like, have you ever used a chainsaw? You kind of question is that?
Come on.
What is that?
Come on, woman. Don't ask me those questions. Go inside. Right. And so it's a funny story, because it's like, it's my own moment of, it's like, well, why would that be hard for me? Well, I would have to feel shameful that I don't know how to use a chainsaw. I might be worried about his perception of me. He might think I'm less of a man, right? So there's all this stuff that goes on inside of us, right? There's all this stuff that goes on inside of us, these feelings, when we have to acknowledge that we don't know, when we have to ask for help. It's very difficult to ask for help. And so when it comes to relationships, and, you know, it's like, you know, the world, like, truly, I don't say this kind of lightly, the world would be, as it relates to marriage, would be a transformed place if more guys were willing to ask for help. But guys are so unwilling to ask for help that it's almost like you just double down, you know? It's like me and the chainsaw. It's like my wife's like, have you used a chainsaw? And I say, oh yeah, I've used the chainsaw. And then I go to use the chainsaw and I cut my foot off or something, right? And it's like, now I have this, you know, trauma, injury, all because I was afraid to ask for help. And that little metaphor applies to relationships. You know, it's like people end up just, you know, guys, they double down and double down. They don't want to ask for help. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to acknowledge that we don't know. We feel weak, like you were saying.
And in this case, you talked about a chainsaw, but I think it applies to so many things, like simple things.
Simple things.
Yeah, like, we present ourselves that, you know, we got this, we know how to handle this, when in reality, a lot of times we don't got a grasp of what we're doing at all. And it doesn't have to be a chainsaw. It could be, just, like I said, just meaningless things like, hey, you know how to do this? Yeah, I know how to do this. Or I know how to do that, just, right. Yeah. And
right.
There's just something that paralyzes us with, you know, just by the simple thought of asking for help, you know, or the simple, just acknowledging that, you know what, I don't got this. I think I need some help. And let me share a little bit in regards to my story and my journey that I share on Man Under Construction. I've told you, and I've shared this with the people who follow Man Under Construction, that I struggled with pornography for a very long time. And it took me finally acknowledging that, you know what, I need help to get out of this. I tried my own way. I tried out of sheer will. I tried just by on my cold turkey, on my own, without any help, no accountability, nothing, without, you know, getting information or getting the resources that I needed to be able to finally put my life back together. And it wasn't until then, until I confronted humility or put myself in the right posture of humility to acknowledge that, you know what, I need help to get out of this.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that we deal with as far as with men that we don't want to acknowledge. And a lot of them have to do with internal struggles because we don't want to be perceived as weak, or we don't want to be vulnerable because that is considered weak. Right. But I can tell you from experience, and I'm sure from your personal experiences as well, that things will not change. You will not overcome certain things in your life until you experience humility and you reach out for help.
Right.
So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Michael. And I got, you know, my own, you know, life version of that story. I think about all the things that have gone on in my life, all the pain and the struggle and the things that I've gone through as a result of me being simply too immature to ask for help. Because really, this is a maturity issue. This is a character issue, because as we go through life and as we mature in a healthy way, we become a lot more comfortable in acknowledging that we don't have all the answers. And by the way, we're not supposed to have all the answers. You know, before you were talking, you know, hopefully it's okay. You work for like a solar company or something, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, Michael, I don't know the first thing about solar, right?
Yeah.
And if I was interested in learning about solar, you know, you would be a really great guy to talk to. And I could ask you a lot of questions. You could give me a lot of answers. And, you know, maybe I was going to think about putting solar on my house, and you could probably save me a lot of money and a lot of time if I was just willing to say, I don't know anything about solar. And Michael, would you show me some things about solar? And life is that way. Relationships are that way. You know, relationships are that way. Like, I don't know if it sounds crazy. Sometimes it feels crazy when I say it, but it's like, man, I don't know anything about relationships. I don't know what it takes to be happily married. I didn't come from an environment where that existed. So I'm always learning. I'm always relearning and reevaluating and asking and you know, well, maybe I should do it this way, or maybe this is a better strategy. What do you guys think? And I have, you know, and I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, because I've spent so many years of my life not having those people in my life, but I have those people in my life where, you know, I have mentors and authority figures in my life that can speak into my life, that can say, hey, you know, this is where you're getting it wrong, and this is where you need to do it different.
And to kind of give an example of, to make it more relatable, I was just thinking, for all the husbands out there, the honeydews at the house, you know, plumbing goes bad or something goes wrong with the roof. And I've done it before. I was like, you know, I'm not going to call anybody. I can do this. You know what? This was before the age of YouTube. You try to do it on your own and you end up creating a bigger problem. You know, you try to fix a pipe in the house, and instead of calling a plumber, you end up needing to repair half the wall. There's water all over the place. And all because you didn't want to call someone.
Great example. Our relationship life works that way too. And, you know, I think that, I really feel like it's a maturing process. You know, calling the plumber takes courage. And in fact, this is the great irony of humility. It's interesting. You just made me think about this. You know, the great irony of humility is that it takes so much more internal strength and courage to actually ask for help than it does to not ask for help. When you don't ask for help, it's like an acknowledgement of how fragile and weak you are, actually. And I'm not saying that as an insult to anybody listening to this, okay? Because I do it too. And I just remind myself, like, wow, that was really fragile of me that I couldn't ask for help. Because when we feel confident enough within ourselves and secure enough within ourselves, asking for help isn't hard. When I didn't want to ask for help for the chainsaw, that was a sign of insecurity within me. That was a sign of a fragile ego. If I would have just asked for help, I know my neighbor, he would have actually really respected the fact that I asked for help, because that's a sign of strength. And I feel that way with all my clients too. I tell all my clients that I say, you know what? You coming here and having an interest to fix this is the most courageous act. And I say that to people in their first day of jiu-jitsu too. I say, you know what? The hardest thing about jiu-jitsu is that very first day you walk through that door. Because before you walk through that door, it was scary. You were probably intimidated. You probably didn't know what was going on. You probably were worried. Are you going to get hurt? You probably had a lot of thoughts about, that's intimidating, but you had enough courage to walk through that door. And by the sheer act of walking through the door as a beginner, you are asking for help. You are acknowledging that you just don't know, but you want to learn. And I got so much respect for people that do that. And so that's the great irony, is that it's actually it's the bravest thing that we can do. And if we value bravery, if we value being fearless, if we value things like strength, why aren't we doing more humility? You know, why don't we have more of that in our lives? Because in fact, it's the strongest thing we could do.
And you said that you mentioned it, but you wrote something in your book, to embrace the truth that of humility is a true sign of, or is a sign of true strength. And there is just, that's actually very profound. And like you mentioned, which is the first chapter or the first step, the foundation of this journey is self-awareness. So you acknowledge who you are, your weaknesses, your strengths, you embrace all of it, and you know exactly who you are. And when you're able to acknowledge that, humility is the next step, and that's true strength, because you're not afraid of what comes afterward. You're secure who you are because you know who you are. And I when I read that, it was actually very profound when you really think about it, to be so secure in yourself to acknowledge, you know what, I need some help in this area. And it doesn't faze you, it doesn't bruise your ego, you don't feel ashamed, you don't feel intimidated, you know exactly who you are, and you go forth and you ask for help, and you get the job done. You do what needs to be done. And I thought that was beautiful. Just, I can just picture it in my mind. I have a vivid imagination, so I picture it in my mind, and embracing humility is a sign of true strength. Courage, it's a sign, and usually, like I said, I have a vivid imagination. So when I think of humility, it's almost like I also think of honor and courage and almost there's this it's almost prestigious, like it's a virtue. It's not like there's just, it has a lot of weight. There's almost a sense of royalty behind it. And as far as when I think of humility, those are the kind of thoughts I have. It's lofty. It's something to aspire to have that level of humility where you can, you know who exactly who you are, and the world can be going haywire and it doesn't faze you because you're secure in the man that you are. So I just wanted to add that.
Well said. No, yeah, really well said. It reminds me, I think, was it, maybe I'm getting this wrong, so forgive me if I got it wrong, but was it, I think it was maybe Teddy Roosevelt that said, you know, walk humbly but carry a big stick. You know, and I think I actually love that quote because it's a perfect dichotomy of what I think it means to actually be a healthy guy, to be a healthy man.
Yeah.
It's this dichotomy of knowing the appropriateness of aggression and when that might be important, and also knowing when it's important to be humble. And they feel like opposites, but they're actually, they're like opposite sides of the same coin. There's polarizing aspects of what it, mm-hmm. what it means to be fully alive as a man. And, you know, I think, you know, if you're listening to this and, you know, relationships feel important to you, which I hope they do, whether you're married or single or divorced, it doesn't matter. Our relationship health will be significantly dependent upon our ability to adopt a lot of humility. Because when we're more humble in relationships, it's easier to, you know, say sorry for the things that we do. We say, oh, you know what? I know that I screwed that up. That's my bad, right? I'm not going to get defensive. I'm not going to turn on you. You know, I'm going to take ownership of my part. You know, so like we said, you know, self-awareness is identifying the things that get in the way. And then humility is taking ownership of them. So first we have to identify, and then we have to say, oh my gosh, now that I've identified, man, I come to you in this humble spirit and I see that I got a lot of problems. And by the way, we're not doing that in a self-deprecating way. We're not shaming ourselves. We're not, you know, beating ourselves up. No, we're just saying, you know what? I'm not a perfect human. I got my flaws, and I'm gonna approach the relationship with this humble spirit that's gonna make it feel very safe for my partner or for my coworkers. This is applicable to any relationship.
I just thought about something when you were talking about. Now I was kind of going through your book a little bit. Would it be fair to say that arrogance? Well, okay, let's start off with this. You said humility is the sign of true strength. Would arrogance be the sign of true weakness?
Totally, 100%, 100%. And I say something about that in the book too. That like, you know, if, you know, and using the jiu-jitsu metaphor, you know, if you ever spend time around somebody who's really good at jiu-jitsu, you know, someone, a high level black belt person, the most humble guys that you've ever met, humble, humble, humble. And these are guys that they're trained, they're murderers, you know, like literally they can murder you. And they're not arrogant. They're not arrogant. They don't go through life that way. And there's a ton of humility. So it's such a great example, because the stronger you actually get, the more humble you actually get. You know what I mean? It's like this weird thing that happens as you go through life. Like if you ever meet somebody that, you know, is actually really tough, the first thing they'll tell you is, man, I'll do anything to avoid a fight. They're not trying to fight.
Yeah.
That's the great irony, is that they can if they wanted to, but they have enough humility that they don't need to prove anything to anybody. They're like, no, I'm out. I'm just going to avoid it. I'll do anything I can to get out of a fight. I'm not trying to fight. Mm-hmm. Right. Isn't that, I mean, that's a great irony, isn't it? Because they've gotten out of that arrogance phase of their life. And these are kind of phases that we go through. And that place of arrogance is truly the sign that you're so insecure that you need to be arrogant. And when you get more security, when you grow as a human, as a man, when you become more mature, humility is just a natural outpouring of that. It's a natural byproduct. We don't have to try to be humble. We just, you know, I've been submitted, you know, life has dealt me some tough blows, and I'm going to walk through this life pretty humbly because of that. And it's usually, a lot of times after we've gone through a hardship, after we've gone through struggle, we do feel a lot of humility in our lives as a byproduct of that.
And you mentioned another part, or in another section of that chapter, that without humility, we lose precious opportunities for guidance. And you're 100% when we, and this is kind of like what we've been talking about. That's a theme of today's episode, is that when you're arrogant, You close yourself off from, actually, I think without humility, you shut yourself off from growth. You stunt your own growth. You shoot yourself in the foot and you stay stuck. And I always tell my guys, I always, when I share a post, I tell them that always be open to new ideas. Like, don't just pigeonhole yourself in just some ideology that just feeds into one aspect of yourself. Always be willing to learn and acknowledge that you don't got it all figured out. And you're right, without humility, we lose that precious opportunity for growth, to be that man that we want to be. So there's so much truth to that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, anybody listening to this, you know, everybody can relate to that. You know, like, everybody's been around somebody that's arrogant at some point in their life. And when you're around people that are arrogant, you're not naturally drawn to them. Like, oh, I really want to help this guy. Right. No, you're like, oh man, hit the road. Right. I don't really want to be around that energy. You're kind of annoying.
To be honest, when you come into those kind of people, I've thought it in my head, at least me, like, one of these days, these guys are just going to get whacked in the head. And like, life is going to really just...
Life is going to do that to you. Exactly. Exactly. And the opposite is true too. You know, when I come across somebody that's really humble, I have a natural desire to be helpful. Yeah. I have a natural desire to extend a hand and to say, hey, you know, if there's anything that I can do to be helpful to you, you know, I'll make myself available. So when we adopt a more humble mindset and a humble spirit, people just have a way of showing up in our lives that can, like, radically transform our lives. They can help us make more money. They can help us have more sex. They can help us have better relationships and be better parents and find more meaning and purpose. We have to be humble, though. We have to be humble so we naturally attract those kinds of people.
Yeah, and those kind of people actually gravitate to you. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that is true. Arrogant people tend to push people away, because obviously they don't want to be around. But adopting a humble spirit, humble attitude, people gravitate to you. They want to be around you. And that's really powerful. Yeah. That's just something that's amazing. That's a kind of like a unintended consequence of being humble.
Exactly. You know, and I was thinking about too, like, sometimes, you know, in the world of relationships, you know, people will say, like, oh, you know, like, you should do more of this or more of this thing or less of this thing. You know, we might talk about communication skills or da 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 da. And I just think almost all that stuff is completely worthless if it doesn't come from a humble place.
Yeah.
And it's kind of putting the cart before the horse, in that sense that, you know, if, you know, communication skills coming from somebody that's not humble will never, ever, ever work. Right. So this is not what you and I are talking about in regards to humility. This is not a tactical thing. This is not a checklist. This is not a, oh, do this and do this and do this and everything's going to be fine. This is we got to look inward. And we gotta wrestle with ourselves, and we gotta ask ourselves hard questions. And, you know, why is it hard for me to be humble? What gets in the way of me being humble? Because if you're not humble and you layer on things like communication skills on top of somebody that's not humble, it will never work. And I think the opposite is actually true. That's why in my practice, I don't teach my clients communication skills. Because if you're a humble person, you don't need to get the communication skills right. You don't need to get it right. You approach life and people from a humble spirit, and you will be widely loved and widely accepted. And the opposite is also true, that if you don't approach relationships and people from that spirit, nothing's ever going to work right, even if you have the tactical part nailed. Does that make sense the way I'm explaining that?
Yeah, definitely. And to progress in the book, I wanted to talk about it too, because I thought it was very crucial. It's about the methods. I think you have several methods as far as that kind of revolve around humility. And the first method is recognizing you're not alone in the struggle. Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. I wrote that because, you know, so often whenever something challenging is happening in life, it's a natural human tendency to believe that what we're going through is unique and that people wouldn't understand, and that what we're going through, we might feel like we're the only ones going through it. And when it comes to relationship challenges, of course, that couldn't be further from the truth. And if you struggle with humility, awesome. Welcome to the club. So do I.
We all do.
Okay. We all do. But that might be the difference in the starting place, is that you and I can admit that, and then other people can't admit that. So it's not that I'm this Buddha that walks through the world and I have no humility problems. Not at all. I got a huge ego and I got huge humility problems too, but I'm aware of that. Okay. And I want anybody listening to that's not abnormal. It doesn't mean you're bad or that you're defective or that something's wrong with you or that this is something that you're the only one that struggles with. No way. Okay. It's almost like, man, welcome to the world of men. We all got humility problems.
And you brought something up really well. It's a daily struggle. Like you said, you mentioned that, you know, even you struggle with humility problems. I struggle with humility problems. It's a daily thing. But like you said, the difference is that we're aware of them. And the simple fact that we're aware, we can do something, we can act upon it, we can do something about it. So it's not like the method one says, that recognizing that you're not alone. You're not alone, and we fight this every day. That's one thing.
We're fighting it together, you know, and this is why I love that we're having these conversations, because, you know, it's an invitation really to anybody listening that, hey, it's like, welcome to this club. Welcome to welcome to the inside kind of inner world of men. It's something that we all struggle with. There isn't anything unique about that you're going through, in the sense that you're not defective or there's anything wrong with you.
And we're going to let's go to method two. This is a big one. And I think we're going to step on some toes. I think I'm stepping on my own toes on this one. Giving up the need to be right, man. That's just saying that has a lot of weight.
It has so much weight. It has so much weight. And, you know, it's, you know, again, it's all related to the humility thing, that when we feel like we have to be right, it means that we're feeling insecure, right? And I'll tell you a personal story about this, okay? So my wife, our family, we just moved into a new house, and we got it painted before we moved in, and they unhooked the water heater to paint behind it, and then I had to put the water heater back in place. And so it's in the garage, and my wife, we're in the house for like a couple of days, and my wife is like, I swear, you know, I smell like natural gas. It's a weird thing in the garage.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I was like, I think you're just smelling some of the stuff that we've unpacked, and it might be like cans of paint or something like that. And she's like, I really think it's natural gas. I'm like, no, you're not right. So she goes, well, I'm going to call the gas company just to get it checked out, because it's kind of freaking me out. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh shit, it might be the water heater, right? Like, I'm going to get caught, right? So the gas guy comes out, he looks at the lines, and he's like, oh yeah, this line over here was totally loose, and it's just basically totally leaking natural gas.
Oh,
and man. I'm like, oh, right? And my wife, you know, she was like, we were just kind of joking about it. She was like, she's like, you know, you need to trust me when I say that stuff. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. I go, I need to trust you, because I didn't want to feel like it was the water heater, because I'm the one that like hooked it up. And I was like in denial that it could be the water heater, right? So that's an example of needing to be right. No humility, needing to be right, defensive, all wrapped up in this word of shame. Okay, that's really the important thing I want people to take away listening to this, is that It's the shame that we feel that keeps us needing to be right. We don't like to feel shame. Shame is that essence that, like, it's that feeling like we're defective, or that something's wrong with us, or that we don't know enough, or that we're insecure. It's that feeling of, like, it's almost like the best way to describe it is that when we feel guilty, that's the feeling that we've done something wrong. That we've done something bad. And shame is the feeling we feel when we are bad. Okay.
Okay.
That's kind of a safe way to describe it. But I didn't want to be wrong, and it was shame that was keeping me from not wanting to be wrong. Okay. So anybody listening to this, we got to get in touch with feelings of shame, because it's that feeling of shame that will drive so many of our actions that will get us in trouble. So guys don't want to come to marriage counseling or couples therapy or therapy in general, right?
Yeah.
The reason guys don't want to come to therapy is because of shame. It's that feeling like, I'm defective, something's wrong with me, I'm broken, and I don't want to go talk to somebody and have that be confirmed. And so we will avoid it. We don't want to feel that feeling that something's wrong with us. And
that's at the core.
At the rock bottom core.
Yeah. Like, if you move away all these, like, I don't want to talk about my feelings, I don't want to talk about this. Why do I need to go to a counselor or a therapist? What for? Like, they're just going to waste my money. If you get past all that, at the core is what you mentioned.
It doesn't get any deeper than shame. It's also step one of Alcoholics Anonymous or any 12-step program. And it is the admission that we are powerless over whatever we are struggling with. The reason it takes people so long to stop drinking or get into a program or, you know, porn, is we don't want to admit that we are powerless. Because if we admit that we are powerless, it is shameful to admit that.
You hit on something really, really profound. We don't like to admit that something has power over us.
Absolutely. Man,
if you let that sink in, like, that is in every man's DNA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's actually a very, very profound statement.
So you could apply that to relationships too. What if you admitted that you were powerless over changing your relationship? Whoa, that's a really big thing. What if you were powerless over these aspects of your life? And powerlessness makes people feel small. It makes people feel weak. It makes people feel shameful. And we will do anything to avoid feeling powerless. But in that, you know, keeping it in line with the humility.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to use a chainsaw. I was powerless over that. So I needed to ask for help on how to use the chainsaw to become empowered to use the chainsaw. Right. And I could have maybe tried to figure it out on my own. That could have worked, but in the process of doing that, I could have cut my foot off too. And so I'm glad that I didn't try to do that. So it's shame. If you strip away all the emotion, it all goes to shame. That's where the humility, that's why it's hard for guys to be humble.
Man, this is really heavy stuff. I'm glad we, to be honest, I'm glad we went there, because, and I'm not, the first podcast, first episode, I was engaged. I was going back and forth. On this one, I'm absorbing everything that you're sharing. Because, yeah, you know, we all struggle with humility or pride. And I know that I struggle with that. So, I'm as the individuals that are listening out there, I'm absorbing everything as much as you are. So the next method is to develop a new perspective on of humility. And I think we've been doing that the whole episode, this chapter. We've been talking about looking at humility as a strength as opposed to a weakness.
Absolutely. You know, and the first sentence in there is that humility is a cornerstone of mature masculinity. And it really is. You know, if we want to be mature masculine men, we got to be humble. We got to go through the word with the world with a sense of humility, and we got to challenge the shameful feelings that will get in the way of us being humble.
Man, this is really, this is a heavy episode. I ain't going to lie to you. This is really good stuff. And I hope the guys that are listening out there walk away with a new perspective on humility and apply it into their life. A lot of the things that we're talking about, this is the next step after self-awareness. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we're on this journey and it's towards being a black belt husband, if you're married, or just being a noble man, a good solid man that people can count on, people can turn to. I've talked to my group of guys that I mentioned earlier, about a week ago, that I got together with, or that I started here at my locally. And I've shared this on Instagram. You know, what kind of guy do you want to be? Do people come to you? Do people count on you? Do people look up to you? Or like when people look at you, do they say, I want to be that kind of guy? And the stuff that we're talking about here, being self-aware, and then the next step, humility, these are the steps that are going to get you to that, to be that kind of guy. And what's amazing is that you're not even going to recognize that it's going to be a part of your lifestyle. It's going to be who you are. And naturally, people are going to want to look up to you and follow you. And, you know, you'll lead by example.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think that's wonderfully said, Michael. It's a great opportunity for all of us to become the men that we want to become the leaders that we want to be. You know, if you study any of the great leaders throughout history, very humble, very humble. You know, they didn't have all the answers, but they surrounded themselves with people that can get them the answers. They knew enough to know that they didn't know it all. And if we want to pride ourselves on becoming great men, great leaders, great role models, being noble men, humility is such an integral part of that. We got to be strong enough. We got to be brave enough. We got to be mature enough to be able to say, you know, I don't know. And I'm going to tolerate the shameful feelings that come with inside of me by saying, I don't know. And I'm going to work on that. And as you know, just kind of a practical takeaway for anybody listening, you know, we can do it in the smallest ways. We can do it in the tiniest ways. You know, you could think about, you know, we all have people in our lives where we could solicit help from, let's say, you know, we could ask people, hey, you know, I don't really know this thing. You know, could you help me with this? Take baby steps, because humility it's like a muscle that we have to develop, you know. We can test that muscle and build that muscle just by taking, you know, tiny steps, asking people to help us, asking for information, asking people, you know, acknowledging, hey, I don't really know this thing over here. What do you think about this thing? And the more we can get into the habit of doing that, the more we will come to realize that it's actually okay to not know. It's okay to not have all the answers. And there's a huge freedom and that comes with that. There's a huge weight that gets lifted off of our shoulders when we actually can go through the world not feeling like we have to know everything.
Yeah, it's really powerful stuff. Really, really powerful stuff. And humility is like you said, it's a muscle that you have to work, and which is going to segue into the next chapter, which is being consistent, showing up and doing the work. And it's not just like, oh, okay, one day I act humble, or I present myself in a humble way, and that's it. I got it down. It's about doing the work. And you always reference Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's you got to practice in order to get to the next level, to the next belt. You have to put in the work. If not,
yeah, we have a lot to say about that. We'll save that one for the next conversation.
yeah, exactly. And I just wanted to lead up to that, to let everyone know that's where we're headed next. We're going to talk about being consistent, being showing up day in and day out, whether you're tired or not. And that's how it's going to get done. So today was about humility. And again, today was a dense conversation, very profound thoughts and insight were, we exchanged. And I know that if gentlemen out there apply this stuff to their life, they'll come out a different man, better men than when they came in. So we'll leave you guys with that. And as I did before, I'll put everything in the show notes where you can get a hold of Quentin Hafner, his book. And we will see you next time. And well, actually, before we go, would you like to add anything?
No, I'm good. I think this is a great stopping place. I'm going to be excited about talking about consistency next time, but there's a lot to even just digest about the humility thing.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. we weren't giving Gerber. We were giving, some prime meat for the gentleman out there. Noble Savages, we will see you next time.